Helping Hand, weekly feature, HPR1 stations, and online at hawaiipublicradio.org every Friday afternoon. Helping Hand tries to give visibility to an organization, topic, or event in the community that helps out the folks who are disabled and others among the most vulnerable. I'm Dave Lawrence. Aloha. Thank you for joining us. This week, we are grateful for some returning guests helping out folks in the community with mental illnesses and the unique Clubhouse Day programs. They help people live more independently through therapeutic activities, and we've been thrilled to have representatives before on the program with us, and we're grateful today to again be joined by the Psychosocial Rehabilitation Case Management Service Coordinator at the Hawaii Adult Mental Health Division of the Department of Health, Kathleen Miriam. From the Waipahu Aloha Clubhouse, Norman Mizon, a senior staff member working there, and John Aleviado Plunkett, clubhouse member as well from the Waipahu Aloha Clubhouse. Aloha to all of you, and welcome back.
Aloha.
Aloha. Thank you for having us.
You're quite welcome. And Kathleen, there's probably a lot of people who do understand what the function of the clubhouses are, but there are probably even more listening who this is totally new to. So for those folks who are just tuning in right now, driving in their cars, curious what you do, explain.
Sure. Well, thank you again for having us. This is really an honor. The best way to understand what a clubhouse is, of course, is to visit one. There are 9 statewide, and today we're featuring the Waipahu Aloha Clubhouse. But what you'll find in any clubhouse is really people working together. So the staff and then the members, we call people members, not clients or patients, but staff and members are working together to operate the clubhouse. So if you walk in, you might see people operating the clubhouse kitchen, snack bar, a clerical area, learning how to read and write and basically regain functions they might have lost during their illness. So you'll see people producing a newsletter. You'll see people working on some of their skills that they can then use in the community, like living again independently. It's a place where basically people are gaining their independence so that they can re-enter into the community. They're learning how to go back to school. They're learning how to get a job. The employment program, which we'll talk about later, is very important. So whatever it takes to make that house run, people are doing side by side. People don't live there because they are trying to learn how to live maybe in their group home or care home or independent housing. So it's a community, basically. Usually there's a few social workers that are working there with people. It's not staffed real heavily because we want the members to rise up and really utilize their skills and abilities as well.
And before we'll actually dial in on the Waipahu location and hear from Norman precisely what an average day there is like, but you had mentioned it is statewide. Mm-hmm. Can you describe where the 9 places are just so that people who are outside of the Honolulu area can gain a little bit of knowledge?
Absolutely. Thank you. We have 5 clubhouses on Oahu. So there's Diamond Head Clubhouse. There is Hale o Honolulu in town. We have Ko'olau Clubhouse over on the windward side. And then we have Kauhali Lahilahi in Makaha. On the neighbor islands, we have Friendship House on Kauai. That's in Kapa'a. We have Hale o Lanakila in Wailuku, Maui. And then we have Hale Oluwea on the Hilo side of the Big Island and the Kona Paradise Club in Kona. We do have a kind of a more drop-in atmosphere, but they certainly are, we consider them as a part of our clubhouse ohana. They are called Hana Kalima in Molokai. So these special communities, I think what makes them so special is that they really honor the members to help run and make decisions within that community that they are participating in.
Which is along a lot of way towards helping them. I mean, those are invaluable skills that can be translated later into other things that they're doing. So all that administration, essentially, that they're doing, they can then apply those same skills later on.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Dave. Yes.
In employment opportunities. You're welcome. Norman, describe your role there at the Waipahu Aloha Clubhouse.
Great. As the employment coordinator, we all kind of take hand in developing jobs. We'll take a look at the community and see which employers are willing to help our members out for jobs. Wherever it is, we'll go and job develop, which means that we'll go out and talk to them. We'll have a meeting. We'll tell them about our program, our membership, what they learn. And then if they're receptive, then we'll ask them, do you have any entry-level positions available for our members? Our members will let us know when they're ready to work or, you know, that's the desire that they want to work at. We look at not just, you know, the history. If they have the desire, then we'll be able to say, hey, you have the desire. Let's go and work. And they'll say, yeah. They'll be all excited. Once we talk to the employers, we'll get to learn the job. And then we'll train at the job. We'll figure out if, you know, we need to eliminate, you know, one job responsibility where, you know, our members will be able to be comfortable going into this job. Some of our members they haven't worked for a while or haven't worked at all. So this is a good opportunity. It's called a transitional employment program.
Right.
The transitional employment program is 6 to 9 months. And it allows a member to kind of test the waters out. You know, they get to learn, like, how to responsibility of getting there on time, their partnership, who they're going to work with, you know, uniform, getting everything ready, you know. The bus route and all that kind of good stuff. And as employment coordinator and all the staffs, we'll be able to train hand-in-hand with them. And then we'll back off a little bit when they're ready. And then we'll do our checks frequently, like once a week or...
To check on them there.
Yeah, exactly. To see how they're doing, their progress. And then we'll make some adjustments. We'll communicate with an employer. And then we'll build that relationship, actually, with them. And it's a good win-win situation because... the TE program, transitional employment, allows the employer to put the trust that we'll be able to cover the job. What they say is the absentee coverage. So if our member is not able for some reason not to work their shift, we'll be able to cover the position at no cost to the employer. So it's a kind of win-win situation employment program. After the 6 to 9 month duration, then we'll talk about, you know, where you're going to go next. And maybe another TE, experience another type of job. Maybe that position was a janitorial. And then maybe they'll go into, like, retail. And then after they say, you know, three TE programs, it's more successful that the member will be able to get a permanent job. They'll be able to know what they want. Is it, you know, a janitorial or a retail or so forth?
Is that your goal, to try to get a series of consecutive, maybe three different TE, as you put them, the transitional employment opportunities, under one's belt before, and that gives you as a program coordinator sort of, you can then say, all right, well, this person's now ready to move on to it.
Yeah, exactly. Like I said, it's a more successful rate when they do three TE.
Right.
So then we try to aim for that, and then so they'll be able to understand which field they want to get into.
Right. Oh, that's a good way to look at a few different kinds of fields. Excuse me. Yeah. That's a great way to look at a few different kinds of fields. It's also sort of to work out the kinks and getting someone up to speed to then move on to a more full-time job.
Yes.
I like that. John, can you describe an average day there and maybe like something that you do there that you really are able to get some pride in doing and that you enjoy doing?
I go there every day and I help a lot of people and we get good communicating with each other and I don't know, that's it.
And it's been valuable for you, though, obviously. You must feel like it's been worth something.
Yeah, it's worth something to be there. And,
good environment. How many people are there, right?
We're like 40 people, 40 members, around there.
Okay. And the hours, approximately, you're there?
I'm there maybe like 8 hours.
8 hours during the day?
Yeah, during every day.
Weekends, too, or just during
the week? No, not on weekends.
Not on the weekends?
Yeah, not on the weekends.
And explain how that works. Is there something that weekends are just the clubhouse is down, or how does that fit into their program as clubhouse members?
That's a great question. So Jonathan doesn't necessarily participate maybe on the weekends, but there is a weekend program. So one Saturday A month we're open, and that's pretty typical with
of
the clubhouses. Yeah, they might be, some might be open 2 Saturdays a month. On Tuesdays, then they're open late. So there is really an evening, weekend, holiday program, which is really important, because if we just focus on kind of working together side by side, we need to have that balance, yeah? We need to have kind of the, we play together and we work together. So otherwise, there's no value kind of in work. There's no that, there's not teaching people that there is work and then there's play. So what's different about Clubhouse, I think, is some, it used to be in the old traditional day programs, it would just be where people are just all day long, they're either doing groups or they're doing handcrafts. There was almost this low expectation in people that people probably are so sick they can't do anything but that. So we have a high expectation. We turn that around. We say, of course people can work. They can parallel a working day, kind of like us. I mean, most of us don't go doing crafting all day. We don't go playing bowling all day. I mean, well, unless you're retired or you're wealthy. So we really design it around having a work day. So we start our day with a meeting. We have some work projects that make the clubhouse stronger, that work to help each individual. And then we break for lunch and we have another kind of part of a work day. And then, of course, we complement that with an evening and weekend and holiday program. And that's where more social recreational activities are. We find, if you think about it, the holidays in particular, again, most services would be shut down. We put a lot of energy into being open then. Mm. It's a very difficult time for people. Well, right. I was going to say people with mental illness, but actually, whether you're diagnosed or not, holidays can be very difficult for people.
Absolutely.
Because there's this expectation, of course, that you're going to be surrounded by Ohana and you know, the Hallmark gift card sort of images. Well, many people don't have that.
Right, the illusion of what the average person is doing on those days, sitting
exactly.
around with their family, opening gifts. And that isn't, and then you couldn't have summed it up better by saying it's like the Hallmark version of what life is. And no insult to Hallmark, but that isn't really,
yes.
you know, a lot of people don't have a big family, or some folks don't have any family at all. And that, and it's better, what you're saying, and you'll correct me if I'm wrong, is just in the same way that you try to mirror a work day by having tasks and functions that will be both therapeutic and nurturing for folks during the day, you do the same so that people get an idea of what recreation should be at those other times, like evenings, and then even more importantly, when it comes to holidays, you want to put up a strong presentation, because that's a critical spot where if people are left on their own, they get into that impression that I should be living this Hallmark card life, when in fact that may not be. And so it's very important to have structure and elements, and those things become really reinforcing for people.
I couldn't have said it better. That's exactly right. And not to get too clinical about it, but those are often trigger points for people.
Sure.
You know, if somebody has a substance abuse issue or they might have a relapse, those often are kind of around those difficult times.
And you know, we're all really similar, because those times can be very difficult for somebody, for anybody. If you're going mm-hmm. through grief, it mm-hmm. can be a really difficult time. If you don't have your family anymore and you once did and they have passed on or left from other circumstances, those can be difficult times. So those are really trigger points for anybody.
Yes.
So
yes.
It makes a lot of sense that you would really want to buttress your presentation on those days. We've talked about it in previous times when you've been on, but and there is an eligibility line, which sort of feeds into my next question. Are there costs and eligibility requirements for folks? And maybe there are family members, loved ones, friends of people who think, maybe I should recommend this for so-and-so. Explain that part of it.
There is an eligibility line. It is 643-AMHD. And so if people are wondering, you know, is my loved one or would I be eligible for a clubhouse? So this is a clubhouse for people with severe mental illness. And we don't diagnose people right at the clubhouse. So there are no doctors or nurses. That's by design, because people are really colleagues. We want people to be co-workers with one another. And you can't really be a co-worker with your nurse or your doctor. So it's important to call that line to get an assessment from a clinician, and then you would get a referral to the clubhouse. So that line again, 643-AMHD. The other line I'd just like to mention, too, is, or resource, is NAMI, NAMI Hawaii, National Alliance on Mental Illness. Many people find themselves not sure, you know, what to do if there's somebody with an illness or is suffering within their family. They don't know where to turn. They don't know what these, they're basically symptoms that are coming up in their loved one, and they just don't know what that is. And that NAMI is a family resource. And they have different things like the mental health walk. It's going to be October 8th. But they have support groups. If you go on their website, namihawaii.org, you can scan kind of what illnesses look like, what symptoms look like, and some of the community resources. So that's another good resource for families. And many of them refer people to clubhouses. They say, you know, I don't know what services I should send my loved one to, but I really like clubhouses. So that's another good source.
Are they the administrators of the crisis lines or no?
No. Adult Mental Health Division actually provides the Crisis Line of Hawaii, which is the 832-3100 number. That's for Oahu. If somebody's on a neighbor island, they can call 1-800-753-6879.
Are there, excuse me, are there hours that is in place, or is that 24/7?
Oh, 24/7 for sure.
Wow, yeah. That's great to know. Live staffed 24/7 locally.
Yes.
That's very impressive. Dialing in, turning things, because we've now heard a little bit about the programs, and undoubtedly the real reason doing Helping Hand, there are two real reasons. One is to get services out there for folks so that you know these services exist. Another reason is to support the services, because there are so many people who are privileged to be affluent and have made a good living, maybe retired, as Kathleen mentioned, and just want to give back. And there are a lot of worthy ways to do that around the kind of programs that we put on Helping Hand. I'll turn to you, Norman, and say on your day-to-day, because I know employment is a very important thing. We've talked about it before, and this is a way to continue to talk about it. But in terms of people out there who may be able to provide jobs, people in your community who have locations, businesses of different kinds, they could be able to support you. When you think of the kind of challenges you're up against in finding jobs, what are ideal jobs or hours or important things that a potential employer who is listening, who would like to support you and say, I'd like to meet Norman halfway, I've got some opportunities. What would you put out there that'll help people like that to realize things that they could have you guys do?
We definitely looking for all types of employers. We want a variety of jobs. So any employer who wants to learn about the population and provide, you know, help, we have wonderful members who are wanting to work. Entry-level positions are ideal. It can range from retail to grocery store, from custodian work. Whatever you have available, entry-level positions, just
office.
To get them. Office positions, too. Yes, definitely. We're looking for all employers that wanting to help, actually.
What are the hours that we're thinking about for that?
We're looking for a typical daytime hours, Monday to Friday, any time between 7:30 or 7 o'clock to 5. It just allows for the staff, when they do absentee coverage, to just jump in there immediately and help, you know, do the coverage if there's any time that we need to cover the position.
Which is a great thing that Kathleen's talked about before, and I'll just add to it since I'm familiar with it. So the staff will, and you described it earlier, but just to make it really simple for people if they didn't pick up on it, the staff at the clubhouse will train in that position as well.
Exactly.
And that's what you're talking about by, it's like sort of like you've got guaranteed coverage, because if the clubhouse member is unable to do it, as Kathleen has said before on a previous episode, she'll train for it herself, or as Norman said, you'll train for it yourself. So the employment opportunity has a sort of like a guarantee of coverage. Yeah?
Exactly. Yes. It's a win-win situation for the employer as well as us. You get some great member help. People are willing to learn the entry-level position and, get there and, contribute to the workforce.
Yeah, and it's
wonderful members.
And it's a good thing to have because not every employment situation works that way. And what can you add to that you think is important for potential employers as you almost like put a pitch out there for people who are listening, not only in the Waipahu area, because I'm presuming that would be for where Norman is, but for all potential employers, and it can be people just around the state, things that you want them to know?
Thank you. It's interesting. I think people wonder, should I really hire somebody with some sort of disability? I wonder how that will change our work culture. And do they have the same kind of work ethic? It is amazing to me how much people want to work. So sometimes we're dealing with people that have been told, I'll never work again.
Right.
I'm not sure if I still have my skills. Can I learn new skills? And once we get them out on the job site, they're like just new people than what we see every day. And so given a chance, people really rise to that occasion. And it's a beautiful process to be a part of. In fact, sometimes we have to tell the employers, look, you're going to fall in love with our folks. So you don't keep them, though. There's a reason why we have 6 to 9 month work periods. And that is, again, it's kind of like when we were younger in our teens, trying out different places and then building our resume and learning, ooh, I don't really want to do that forever. Or, yes, I really like this. I want to do more of it. So it's a really important design of this work program. I guess I would just add, you know, give us a chance. You could give one full-time job, split it into two jobs for us, and you have a great deal there. You have people then, my guess is that people, especially if you're talking about an entry-level job, you probably have a high turnover rate, might have workers nowadays that are coming in late, wanting to leave early, maybe a little sloppy around the edges, and then our employees are coming in there going, thank you for this job, I'm so grateful, showing up early, not wanting to leave, and very grateful for their paycheck. And that's a great thing.
And you pointed out, I guess in answering, you illuminated one of the other important things. So you want the employer to be giving you a temporary position. That is, am I reading you right? You want a 6 to 9 month thing, or do you want someone who has a job that can conceivably go longer, and then you could rotate different people through it?
Great clarification. So you're giving the clubhouse the job. So you give us the job, the staff, really to manage it, and then we rotate the member through every 6 to 9 months. So you're giving the clubhouse the job.
That's a good understanding for folks. You give the clubhouse the job, and it's a job that is ongoing,
and then
folks like Norman and yourself figure out who, with a clubhouse member, hey, is this something that interests you? And then that triad of forces think about it, and if the member's interested and you guys think it's a good fit, you approach the employer and say, we have someone for that. And then over a period of how often is it six to nine months?
6 to 9 months.
And you rotate a new person.
Yeah, and that's really on purpose. 6 to 9 months, we didn't just pull that out of our hat. That's really been studied that makes the most sense. It's a good time to get into a routine.
Right.
It's a good time to establish those work skills. And then it's a good time to transition somebody else, that person off and somebody else on. And we want it to be transitional because we also want to have smooth on and offs, because sometimes maybe they're not going to make it to the 6 months, but we want to see that as a success.
Yeah.
One day working is a success. And so we want to be able to then quickly bring somebody else on if they didn't complete that 6 months. So the staff are very, very involved. They're placement managers. They're really the ones that know the job thoroughly all the time. So it's a very good work model for people that do have some challenges.
And Norma, I'm going to start this one off with Kathleen, but I want you to think about any ways you can augment her answer, because often people can collaborate on the other needs. Volunteers, other things besides job opportunities so we've put a call out to potential employers. But in addition to that, other ways that folks can help you guys out to make your life easier at the clubhouses, whether it's things that you need there, whether it's a new, and I'll just put the ideas in your head and then you can clarify it to what you need. It could be the roof is leaking. It could be you need a new vehicle. It could be you need people on the board. It could be you need volunteers to fix something else that's not working right, like a laborer of some kind. It could be cash donations, whatever it is that can make things easier or better there, or again, other volunteer opportunities for people.
Oh, that's very sweet of you to ask. Well, cash is always king, but everybody's, asking for cash, I'm sure. That's always what nonprofits are looking for. This is a state-operated program, but it's it has a nonprofit arm, which allows the clubhouse to be able to then access funds and grants. And but of course, the staff are always so overtaxed. It's not like they're sitting around writing grants. I wish they could do more of that. They have a fundraiser that's coming up October 6th, and that's going to be at the Honolulu Country Club. So the tickets are $70. People could come to that. That's a way to learn a little bit more about the clubhouse, and also there'll be a panel discussion on homelessness in Hawaii. We believe that clubhouses really help prevent people from being on the streets and beaches, prevent suicide, prevent, you know, a lot of tragedy. So we need clubhouses. Other volunteers, a lot of the talent and skill we really get from our clubhouse members, because of course they've just been kind of cooped up in a way, and so we really seek their talent. But we always can use kind of a handyman or handywoman. We always can strengthen our advisory board and board of directors.
Doesn't each one have their own little board, sort of?
Yep, they do, because of that nonprofit.
So in that, someone in that community, so each of these locations, if there's anyone in that community that wants to help in leading.
Exactly. Every clubhouse is looking to strengthen their board. That would be awesome to contact that clubhouse director individually.
Norman, other things that you think of as we laid that out there that would make your life easier? Any challenges on a day-to-day basis that you think someone listening could help alleviate?
Kathleen had mentioned about our big fundraiser that's coming out. That's great. We also like to advocate for, you know, like just improvements, like you said. We're in the talks with, you know, contractors trying to build a sidewalk, a walkway for our members. So if you have any ideas, maybe you can touch bases with Kathleen and, you know, cross information with her. We're also looking for staffing, you know, if you're interested.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You can check our website. What is our DHERD website?
AMHD.org website?
Yep. You can go to AMHD.org or the Department of Human Resources.
Nice. Yeah.
We're always looking for new staff, good staff, people that want to work with other people in this field, in the mental health field.
Yes.
That would be awesome. We have some staff openings.
Okay.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you, Kathy.
So openings for jobs, that's another critical way that folks can help out. And
yes,
you'd be helping yourself out. And on the October 6th benefit, the fundraiser, is that just for the Waipahu location or all clubhouses?
That one is for Waipahu.
Okay.
But, you know, all the clubhouses have little fundraisers that are trying to help their nonprofit. So you can certainly get involved. I think if you just go on the AMHD website and see where the clubhouses are, give them a call. And they need community friends. They really need kind of friends of that clubhouse in that particular area. And they love giving tours and meeting community friends so that they don't get so, you know, kind of just the mental health community. They want to be integrated and be seen as neighbors and friends of that area.
That is what it's all about.
Yeah.
And let me run a few bits of contact information out to folks on that note. Certainly for folks, again, Kathleen mentioned it, but if you yourself are interested, if you have a loved one or friend you care about who you want to turn on the eligibility line to figure out if they qualify to be part of the clubhouse, 643-AMHD is the eligibility line, and that's statewide.
Mm-hmm.
That's day one. In the Honolulu area, the crisis line is 832-3100. That's 24 hours a day, 808-832-3100. And again, beyond the Honolulu area, 1-800-753-6879. The website that we have referred to, amhd.org, is where you can find them online. And you can also offer assistance and support by contacting Kathleen directly, 721-0748 at hawaiipublicradio.org. I've got all the contact information waiting online. October 6th, Honolulu Country Club fundraiser for the Waipahu Clubhouse is coming up. 9 clubhouses statewide, and as we've pointed out, a way to really be able to be part of the one that's closest to your community can certainly be of interest for folks out there. If you have job opportunities across the state that you want to help them with, definitely reach out. You can contact Kathleen or go online and take a look at the website. And you can contact through the amhd.org as well, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Things that I have left out that are crucial that you want to get in there, thinking about the conversation we've had so far and anything I didn't bring up as well. Norman, John, anybody who has any comments?
I think the only thing I would add is that this is not some specialized area for other people, for the listeners to just be thinking about this. This is our issue. This is everybody's issue. So some statistics to keep in mind, 1 in 4 people will have some sort of mental health condition in their lifetime. This is real. This is our issue. So just kind of bringing it home that usually everybody knows somebody and, you know, kind of just reminding people that the more we tend to learn about some mental health issues, the better we are. You know, knowledge is really important. And it doesn't mean that, you know, somebody's going to be diagnosed with schizophrenia today, but, you know, we don't have to be dramatic about it. But I think that mental health issues are...
They're broad, and they include everyone, and there is no question about that. I mean, from someone's mom to someone's aunt to themselves, you don't have to remind me. I mean, and it's not some alienating force. It's just a facet of life. It's part of the physical condition of being stuck here on this planet X number of times. There are challenges that come up. The things that you lose, the things that you run into, difficult jobs, and it's not some alienating thing. I completely get it, and especially the point that drove it home for me when you think about the holidays and how tough they can be if you don't, if you're not surrounded by family. And even for folks who are, they say the challenge of reconnecting with families around the holidays can be quite an ordeal for everyone. And life has a lot of challenges, and it's always a privilege to have you back in here. Is there things that you thought of that we need to get out there, please?
We're Norman. Always looking for great employers to help the clubhouse communities. So if there are any employers out there listening and you want to, you know, provide helping hand and hire our wonderful members again, please give us a call. Yeah, we're looking for it. Thank you.
God bless you on that. John, anything that would make the day even more engaging or exciting or fulfilling for you there that you think anyone could help out with?
No. No.
You enjoy it, though, there. And you,
yeah.
And it's helping you.
Kind of. It's all right. It's all right in the clubhouse.
What's your favorite thing to do there during the day?
I do all units inside the clubhouse.
You do all?
Units.
What's that mean? All the different activities?
Yeah.
Like what?
Like kitchen, facilities, and clerical.
And that's good stuff to learn, huh?
Yeah.
So you're learning, you're having fun.
Yeah, I get around, but yeah, I get around.
We appreciate you coming down here, being part of our discussion today. It has been a real thrill to welcome back Kathleen Miriam from the Clubhouse program, who has one long title. Psychosocial Rehabilitation Case Management Service Coordinator. That might be. I'm going to contact Guinness later today and see if I can't get you in there. Norman Mizon.
Yes.
Am I pronouncing that right? Senior Staff Worker Employment Coordinator at the Waipahu Aloha Clubhouse.
Thank you.
John Aleviado Plunkett. Mm-hmm. How am I doing on that? Sound right?
Kind of, a little bit.
You say it.
Aleviado.
Aleviado Plunkett. John Aleviado Plunkett.
Yeah.
That sounds better when you say it. Clubhouse member. And appreciate all you guys being on, and ladies, being on Helping Hand today. Thank you very much.
Yeah, Dave, we have to say a big mahalo to you. Not everybody just takes on this issue the way you do, and the way you talk story with us and are so comfortable to be with and really addressing the issue, and really, I mean, you are a pure helping hand. So thank you so much for having us.